This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses of all sizes across the country, as well as right here in Lafayette, functioning as their complete IT department. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission also provides underwriting for Discover Lafayette. To find out more about our local restaurants, festivals, music scene, and much more, visit LafayetteTravel.com. Ben Powers is the force behind Developing Lafayette, a blog dedicated to reporting new businesses and construction in Lafayette. Born out of a natural curiosity about what's going on and realizing there was no easy way to find out, Ben took it upon himself to inform the community about the latest construction, sales, and of course, developments. Developing Lafayette began as a Facebook page in April 2012 and now has more than 40,000 followers. His website, developinglafayette.com, provides a more comprehensive look and gives you a treasure trove of information about Lafayette and the surrounding area. Ben Powers and I have become colleagues through our appearances on News 15 on KADN, where we discuss business issues on Tuesday mornings. Ben Powers, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I have to watch if I say discover or developing.
Right.
They always get us mixed up in the news. But look, we're here at the beginning of 2019. I have to think about it. And it seems like there's a lot going on. You tell me you've been busy. So you want to just jump in and tell me about what's going on today, and then we can get into the history of your website.
Yeah, sure. So the reason why it's busy, or I'm busy at the moment, is that there's a lot of things in the works. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that are in the works I can't talk about.
Disclose.
Because there's some pretty big ones. But, you know, what's weird is the 2018 holiday season was slow. October, November, December, there was like maybe 5 commercial permits around about that much that actually hit the city government. Mm-hmm. So new construction was pretty slow. There's a lot of land work happening, but the permits haven't been pulled yet. But there's I know just about everything that's happening before it happens, but I can't release it yet. And basically the start of this year has been me running around gathering information, whether that be photos, permitting information, mm-hmm. Taking it upon myself to call people who don't know who I am and they're wondering, why is this random Joe Blow like calling me, asking me for renderings of an apartment complex that I'm about to start, which the permits haven't even been pulled yet. But so it's interesting. But so that's kind of my busy work right now, is there's a lot of things about to happen. And I'm trying to prepare myself, mm-hmm. so when those are releasable, I'm kind of ahead of that. And that's the majority of my work, is that nobody sees, is I'm gathering all the information, and there's like, it's kind of like a hill, like a climax in the movies, where I start off, I get a tip, and I investigate, and it climbs, and there's mm-hmm. like a point where there's a peak where I get told, oh, you can release it. And then from there, it kind of just declines. And on the decline is when my post actually happens. And once my post happens, I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. But the fun part then after I post is watching that post get shared.
Right.
And so I kind of get back on another curve where I see people sharing it and people talking about it and people getting excited about mm-hmm. things that are happening. So then I see another like climb, and then there's another peak where everybody's super excited. And then traditional social media says, you know, after the first day, you know, you've expired your peak of, you know, excitement. And so from there, you kind of just kind of decline. Mm-hmm. There's like a 2 or 3 day window where your post is relevant. And after that,
people move on.
Yeah, they move on. It's just the way of people. So,
well, you know what I'm seeing, and we've talked about this on KADN, there are so many apartments and living quarters mm-hmm. going up right now. And it looks like the market is for the young people And then the 55 and up is there's a big push on all these apartments, in particular off of Pinhook. We were talking before the show started. I mean, they're adding a ton of units right there by Bendel Gardens and then by UL Campus. So what are you seeing? Like, is that kind of old news from what you're saying? You know,
it's breaking still ground? Relevant news. I mean, it's old news in the sense that I've already posted about it, but it's still in construction. Mm-hmm. So it's relevant enough to where I'm watching it, but until there's more work that happens to it, mm-hmm. or it gets closer to an opening day where people can actually go look at the
Lazy River.
And like take my drone over it and see the Lazy River. That's exciting because that's the first Lazy River in Lafayette, I guess.
Well, besides Reds, you know. Or
maybe. Well, yeah, but you know, Reds is like, you have your Planet Fitness people and you have your Reds people. That's the way it is. And then in between there is your other guys. But so I think it's called Campion.
I'm not sure what the name is.
Yeah, that's correct. It's Campion.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's mostly just, I think it's university apartments. So it's a lot of younger people. I think they have up to like 5 bedrooms. So, you know, once you get to a 5-bedroom, it's a dorm kind of.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But yeah, it's supposed to be real nice. The traffic situation is not going to be super nice. But yeah, the whole market as far as apartments go, I mean, I'm looking at like your younger people have apartments because they don't have any type of liabilities as far as maintenance, mm-hmm. and they don't mm-hmm. have to worry about mowing the grass. I hate mowing the grass. I have to do it because I own a house.
Right.
But, you know, you don't have to worry about your AC going out. You just pick up the phone or mm-hmm. go on their Facebook, like, hey, my AC's out. And then, you know, if they give you trouble, just post on Facebook. Right. Like, my AC's been out forever. This is where I'm at. And then they, you know, fix it. But then you got your older crowd that are ready to get out of owning a home and want to simplify. Mm-hmm. And so they, again, they're tired of mowing the grass.
Right.
They're tired of fixing their AC. But in the middle, the middle's active too. There's a ton of residential developments happening, but the apartment complexes and the senior living complexes, they're popping up big time, especially your senior living.
I'll be curious to see how they're populated, if they really are, you know, a hit. I'm just curious because I would fit in that category, and I like having some space.
You act like you're old.
Well, like, I know I'm only like 29, but you know.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, to have the best of all for me would be like just no oak trees, you know, in a smaller house. But
no oak trees.
Yeah, I know. A few. I was raking before I came over here. Just it's constant, and that's what people get tired of. But I also, living in an apartment would be such a change. So I'm curious to see, you know, you can report.
Well, if
on
you
that.
Live in an apartment complex with an oak tree, you wouldn't have to.
I
rake
wouldn't
the
have
leaves.
To rake the leaves. I
you
know.
Could enjoy the oak tree and
just
not
put my
have
hammock
rake.
Up. I know.
Right.
I know. Anyway, I'm curious to see because, you know, Ben, it's funny when we're on TV, you will talk about the construction part, and I'll give my two bits on what does this mean and how's it being paid for and is it in a TIF district and all. And with all these apartments going up, I've been talking to owners of real estate. You know, there's a business right by the new place on UL campus. He's across the street, and he's like, I've got several hundred rent homes, and they're hard to rent. And especially in upscale neighborhoods. I mean, he's really got quite a portfolio. So seeing all these hundreds of new units going up for people that already have investments, it's a different impact than it is for people that are looking for new and best. You know, so mm-hmm. it's interesting when we talk because I like the way we come from it from different angles, but it's all relevant, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to speak on anything about the challenges that people go through, like it's real estate. I mean, it's not a, you know, a cakewalk is mm-hmm. for lack of better words. You're always going to have that push for innovation and like location and mm-hmm. you know, convenience and you know, especially on UL, that the whole apartment complex that has like commercial right there by Johnston that's coming up mm-hmm. and it just
it's
that's an attractive looking spot.
It is. It's a great spot. And as a parent, you know, we have a child that's still in college, and we own a condo on UL campus, which is in the best spot. It's by the parking garage. But I would want my child, near campus, just so they don't have to commute. You know, you can ride your bike, you get a parking spot, and you're set, and you're around. It's a safe environment, these places. So there's a lot to say, but it does change the rest of Lafayette as you see this development. Right. It impacts people in different ways.
So. And the thing is, I mean, if those people are impacted, the whole name of the game, and if you're too old, then I guess you don't really think like that, but you have to pivot. Mm-hmm. If something's changing in your industry and you're like, I'm losing business, well, what are you going to do?
Things
are you just
going to
die, or are you going to change it up, or lower your prices, or be more competitive, or do something that's special, you know, add a hot tub, make it worth wanting to take in.
Right. So how do you find out about what's going on? Can you share some of the steps you take to stay on top of permits being pulled?
All trade secrets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's funny. It's all pretty much public information. Mm-hmm. Permits are public information. Like, I call Karen Crow. I call Broussard. I just started calling Youngsville after I'll make 7 years doing this this year. And I made my first call to Youngsville just a couple weeks ago.
You check with their planning person.
Mm-hmm. I call their permitting and planning department, and I say, hey, they got something going on. I want to know what it is. And a lot of time they don't even ask me who I am, but I let them know anyway. But it's public, and so they'll tell you what they can tell you. And if, you know, if they don't know, they don't know. It's whatever's on the permit is what they'll tell you. So if there's the name of it, so let's say Trader Joe's pulls a permit. Well, if Trader Joe's name is on that permit, well, then they're going to tell you, oh, well, that new construction zone is Trader Joe's.
But it typically won't be Trader Joe's on the permit. I mean, you have to do a little digging, don't you?
It just depends on how well-rounded a developer is. If a developer knows and has been around for a while that this permit is gold to news agencies, and even permits are used by plumbers and they're used by contractors. They're trying to call and get leads and, you know, bid out jobs. And so they're trying to get all the information. So sometimes they'll fudge the name of a business or use the LLC or use like some background. You can't boldface lie.
No.
On the
permit.
But
you can
permit.
Have an agent.
But you can, you can, or you can have a third party, like you said, an agent. But that isn't always the case. And if there is, which I've come across things where they're named some bizarre name, I'm like, what were they thinking? But so they were trying to hide it. And so I search the permit as much as I can, especially if the permit's online, which Lafayette's government's, it's all online.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only, like, municipality that's online. All the others you have to call or, you know, make a relationship with the city manager or the permitting office and just really look at stuff. But I'll scan the entire permit, and if I see a business owner's name that I'm familiar with, I'm like, okay, I know they're connected with such and such industry or business, and or for example, if they've opened a business, you know, it just depends on what it is. I'll kind of dig in that name. If there's an address, I'll cross, you know, or reverse check the address and see where it lands. And
Secretary of State,
if it's a Secretary of State, or if the address pulls up to an architect, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go to that architect and say, hey, I saw you have a permit at this such and such address, which is kind of, you know, some of the paths that I take.
But Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And,
yeah, it is a lot of work.
And I think that's probably why I've gotten to where I'm at, because my main focus is finding out this information. I'm not so concerned about all the other news happening in town. So, like, there's a wreck on Penhook and College Saloon. I'm not worried about it. Like, I'm not reporting that. I don't have to investigate that. So I have my focus is pretty sharp on this type of thing.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's share about what was the impetus behind starting Developing Lafayette. It was just a few years ago. You were out eating with your family, right? And you were curious about a new development. You want to share that with us?
Yeah. So I kind of put this in a spin that I think Lafayette residents can understand is I come from a small town, and our big weekend trip was Lafayette. Like, we would come on a Saturday morning and make a day out of it.
All the way from Turkey Creek?
All the way from Turkey Creek, a whole hour away. And we would come to Lafayette, and guess where we would go in Lafayette? This is like less than a half a mile radius. This is where we would stay, and this was Lafayette for us. We would go to Olive Garden, enjoy a classy Italian meal.
Unlimited bread and salad.
I know. Hey, I
love it.
Look, I'm not going to say I do like Olive Garden, but there are some other nice places.
Others,
but anyway, that was fancy for us. And because that's the only ads we would see on TV, mm-hmm. and being an hour away, we don't know what the new trendy Italian place was, if there is any. And
right.
the local places, we were like, well, we don't know anybody in Lafayette. So to eat local, like, mm-hmm. are we going to be in a restaurant that is unhealthy? We don't know that. So now living here, that's changed. I understand what places are good and what local places are, mm-hmm. you know, to watch for. But Olive Garden was our spot. We were eating there, and there was a construction spot on the other side of Olive Garden. And my family and I had a big table. It was like 10 or 13 of us. And we're all just trying to figure out what the dirt work was going to be for. And probably a few weeks later, you know, once the structure started getting built, and I guess the developers put up a sign because it was a chain restaurant, mm-hmm. and the sign read Cheddar's coming soon. And I told my wife, I was like, it would have been nice to have known that while we were all talking about that dirt work the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, but we were all thinking that it was a car dealership. We were all,
right,
all well,
right.
and it's funny, not even being from Lafayette, we assumed it was a car dealership because there was multiple car dealerships. Like Hampton was down there, mm-hmm. and then now there's even more
right.
since then. But we just assumed it was a car dealership because mm-hmm. car dealerships are everywhere, especially on that side. But it ended up being Cheddar's. And I told my wife, I said, there had to have been a place that I could have gone to while sitting at the table talking with my family that, I know what this is. It's a Cheddar's. And uh-huh. we could have, while we were eating bread and salad,
yeah.
we could have talked about Cheddar's, and probably somebody would have known about Cheddar's, and we would have gotten hungry for Cheddar's too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how Louisiana people are. We love to eat. So we'll talk about food. We'll get hungry for food while we're eating the food that we're already eating.
Right.
But,
thinking ahead to the next meal.
Right. So kind of fast forward, I started looking for websites, Facebook pages, anything that would tell me what that spot was, and I couldn't find anything. And I'm like, there has to be something. Like, I can't
right.
be the only person to have thought about something to find information.
And there's so many websites, government and economic development, but it's not gathered visibly, as you're saying.
And I think I stumbled across the Lafayette Economic Development Authority's
mm-hmm.
website,
mm-hmm.
and I saw like one or two listings, and they were not even clickable listings. They were just like text headers on an obscure page on their website, and I'm like, this information is old. Like, I know about this, and I've only been living here for a couple of years. Like, I don't. Okay, so I pretty much took that assumption that there was nobody mm-hmm. actively just kind of posting things and like, oh, this construction's that, and so I just started a Facebook page. And how did I come up with the name? I'm not really entirely sure. I think I just reversed what I was thinking, like Lafayette's developing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I reversed it, and that's how I came up with the name. Plus, I thought, you know, this is kind of like down low information. So like maybe what's the DL? And I think it started off as
DL. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
I think it started off as what's the DL, what's the down low? And the developing Lafayette was just kind of like a name so people knew what to connect it to. But my logo was what's the DL, and it just so happened that DL down low also was the same initials for developing Lafayette.
Right.
And so it transitioned to it's just developing Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
It's still all the down low, but I don't have the what's the DL
right.
part. But so I started that, and
you were doing this while you had a full-time job.
Oh yeah, I had a full-time job. It's funny, my full-time job at the time, my boss at the time told me, why are you spending so much time on this Facebook page? It's never going to make you money. And he doesn't, I don't know if he knows that he said that and what impact it had on me, but not much longer after that, like maybe 3 or 4 months, I got a new job.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this guy And I'm not going to name names, but this guy just obviously doesn't understand what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm young, and I'm kind of just...
You're curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. And so...
You went to work with Tom Cox.
Yeah, that's where my new job came in.
Yeah, so. And he's all about this. He's all about
economic development. And it was funny, starting at golfballs.com, while working on this Facebook page, and this Facebook page was still in its infancy while I started at golfballs.com in 2012, and my supervisor, and they all knew about my website, but my supervisor one day caught me on Facebook making a post, and he pulled me to the side and he said, look, I understand that you have this Facebook page and all this good stuff, but you know, when you're here, you need to make sure you focus on the job. I'm like, look, I get it. He says, well, just remember, man, you have like breaks. You have 10 minute breaks during the day. Compartmentalize it, you know, and also you have lunch. I'm like, look, I understand. I apologize. I was like, you know, I don't want to lose my full time job, because at that time, developing Lafayette was making me no money.
Right.
So it's like my former boss was right. I was not making any money at the time, but I knew one day that it would make me money. I just didn't know how.
Isn't that funny how that little nudge that you feel inside? That's important to follow that.
Yeah.
You knew.
Oh yeah.
Because you were curious, and it turns out pretty much everybody's curious, you know?
It took me a little while after starting the page to realize that this was enough of a curiosity for people to follow it. Mm-hmm. Because the first month, I had less than 30 followers, and the only person liking my post was myself. I was like, oh, I like my own post, because that's what people do when they don't have followers. You just like your own stuff. So, and that's, you know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. You know, and nowadays, if I see a Facebook page doing that and they have a following already, I tell them not to. Don't like your own stuff. It's just put it out there and just be proud that you did the work, but don't show that you're proud by liking your own stuff. Like, that's just my thinking. Mm-hmm. But when you're really fresh and you have any followers, it's okay. Like your own stuff.
Yeah. But things started taking off.
Yeah, yeah. So, honestly, from April 2012 to March 2013, that whole span of time was relatively pretty slow. I think in that time, I had gained maybe 500 or 600 like followers on Facebook, and that's a lot for most pages. But
they don't always look all the time at your
post, and Facebook was a whole different animal at the time. There was a lot less ads, and your reach was a lot farther. Everybody saw your post as soon as you posted it. Now only like less than 10% of the people that you follow you see your post when you post. So I'm actually thankful that it was in good timing.
Yeah.
So posting what I was doing, just staying consistent with it.
During your breaks and lunch.
Yeah, during my breaks and lunch. You know, and now that I don't work at golfballs.com anymore, there were times where I was on the clock. But I did my work first, but I did post whenever I was on the clock, whenever I saw it fit that I needed to make a post, especially when something was what I thought was breaking news. I would try to get it in as quick as possible. But so it just started kind of happening.
Right. But you've gone from that original 30-ish post to over 40,000. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Especially for a place this size, you know.
I know. I mean, I don't know if you know Elaine Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
So she described me or named me the Kardashian of Lafayette. I'm like, I never...
Is that a good thing?
Like, I never thought about that. Like, in a good sense...
Yeah, because people want to know what you're doing.
In a good sense of the following and the influence. It was an influencer talk.
So you can start selling your own lipstick at
some
point.
I'm going to start, vlogging about, makeup.
And, lifestyle.
Yeah. No, definitely not doing
where
that.
Where you shop and, you know.
Right. But, she compared me to Kim Kardashian, and I'm like, I'm looking at the... And she kind of clued me in on this. She's like, the population of Lafayette is like 120, 130,000.
A lot of people aren't on Facebook.
Right.
A lot of guys. I mean, older people, a lot of them just aren't even on social media. So that's a lot of people.
And so,
and it might be people all over that are from here too, huh?
Most of them are from here. Yeah,
they're local. That are engaged.
I have a few that are from out of town that'll comment sometimes, and I'll see through my analytics. But for the most part, you take that 40,000 and you chop it up to fit it in 130,000 people.
That's a lot.
And it's a pretty large percentage of reach. But my reach goes from the entire Lafayette Parish. So if you take the entire Lafayette Parish, plus a couple of the cities outside like Brobridge, and I posted stuff about Opelousas before.
Right.
My percentage kind of gets lower.
But it's still...
Yeah, the meat of my followers are definitely right in the center of Lafayette. And then I have, sprinkles of Cairn Crow, Broussard, and Youngsville, and other places. But it's definitely grown quickly. And then to kind of backtrack to those first few months where I didn't have very many followers, March 2013 is when things kind of just changed. That's when Whole Foods came about.
Mm-hmm.
And when I posted Whole Foods, I went from whatever it was, 500-600 followers to, in less than a week, almost 2,000.
That was really big news.
It was big news.
That whole thing with the eventual, Costco and that whole corridor taking off. So and probably people were looking, they were excited, and some were upset, because they didn't like some of the government intervention.
That still happens. People are happy and upset about everything I post.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 10 people that are excited, there's one person that puts an angry face. I'm like, what am I going to do?
Right.
But
that helped you kind of following.
That was an inflection point where things were just kind of coasting, and all of a sudden this switch happened, and I had for me, I think it was like 80 to 100 something interactions on that post, and that was a lot for me from my one or two or three at a time any other post that I made. So that was a big jump, and my like count went up quick. I was getting notifications every day that you have 99 plus new likes.
That's like, incredible.
That's insane. That doesn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll try to make it happen.
I wish it did happen.
Everybody wishes it happened. All the small businesses wishes that happened, but it doesn't. Facebook has to make money. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's that magic combination, though, Ben. You post interesting things. You write well. I just want to say for people. Do you have help writing?
No, I don't have help.
That's your writing.
It's just funny.
It's good.
Because a couple of years ago, I was told to fire my writer.
Oh, no. And you didn't. You're still here.
I'm still here. Like, I can't fire myself. I know what I'm going to do.
It. You've got good pictures. I know you've been using the drone. And what I like, though, is that you capture what people are interested in. And it just seems like you've got that sense of timing. But I did want to say, when I went back through to look at, you've got a section on your website about wish lists, what people want. And so just a few years ago, like in 2015, when the advertiser was interviewing you, people wanted things like Long John Silver's, IKEA, Margaritaville, and Six Flags. And now, what are your top three wish lists? It's changed a little bit, what people want, huh?
Oh, yeah. Definitely number one is Trader Joe's. I think the next one is probably renovating the Northgate Mall, and then after
that, to
be
like an outlet kind of
to be kind of like a Tanger or Tanger, however you pronounce it, outlet mall, to where there's discounted stores, because it kind of, I think it would kind of fit there, but it would take a big redesign.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after that might be PF Chang's. I think IKEA is pretty high up there still. Honestly, I think I know for sure Trader Joe's is up there, number one. But yeah, PF Chang's has always been.
That's like always rumored,
it's
coming. Huh?
Well, for a while, Whole Foods was rumored for years. And then when it finally came, people were like, it's about time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I've only just started living here. I didn't know it was a rumor. But
I wonder if we'll ever get PF Chang's. Because when I eat there in Baton Rouge, they say that they have more Lafayette-based clients than they do local. I don't know how they know
the
that.
The only way that we would be able to get a PF Chang's is if Lafayette really came together as a community and just stopped going.
Oh, you think? Well, the guy's from Franklin, Paul Fleming, that started
it,
from this area.
He's neglecting his home area.
But boy, do we have desire. So whenever he opens, hopefully it'll be a hit.
I say this with as much confidence as the foresight of 5 years. We're not going to get a P.F. Chang's.
And probably not an IKEA, but we don't know.
Oh, man. IKEA, you don't know about IKEA yet because Costco came to town.
Yeah.
Costco is a big place. Mm-hmm. And like right. Baton Rouge has got a Costco. New Orleans has got a Costco. Mm-hmm. Now, Lafayette has Costco, but Lake Charles doesn't have a Costco. Alexandria doesn't have a Costco. So something about Lafayette is attractive mm-hmm. for somebody that big. But IKEA, we have so many furniture places. Right. I just don't know
right.
if IKEA would come.
Right.
It's big. It's a big store.
It's just fun. It's fun looking at what you have on your side. Do you enjoy that? Like, do you like to get the community stirred up to... You know, how do you do that, let's say? How do you get people to tell you what they want and get them interested enough to communicate with you through your website or social media?
I mean, it took a lot of work in the beginning because starting the Facebook page and not having any followers and the mm-hmm. very few followers that I had to get them to send me stuff, I kept having to basically tell them, like, hey, if you have something you want me to post, send yeah. it to my email.
It's free publicity.
Yeah, and if I can post it, I will. And a lot of times it was people of friends or family of other business owners are like, hey, my brother and brother-in-law just opened up a taxidermy shop. I'm like, mm-hmm. great, I'm going to post it because I need the content. Mm-hmm. And now I have so much coming in
wow.
where people want me to post something. And I have to really think about, like, what is my core content and what do people really want to see and who do I say no to? I don't like saying no.
It's hard.
But I don't want to be a yes man either.
And then you lose that quality of yeah. what people are looking for. Not that all these announcements aren't right. important, but I'm sure you've got some things you know that are going to be more of a draw than just a small convenience store remodeling or something.
Right. So I kind of have this unspoken hierarchy of mm-hmm. what I consider important. For me, new construction, regardless of what it is, it can be a strip club.
Oh.
If it's new construction, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what it is because that's how the page got started. If it's renovations, if it's something that I feel people would like to see and it's relatable and the community is behind them mm-hmm. like Twins, Bergen's and Sweets
right.
whenever Southside closed and Twins was coming, I saw the sign for Twins coming soon. I told my wife, pull over, we gotta pull into the shopping center, I gotta take a picture. I'll get behind that because first of all, people love to eat, and so anything food related that's a renovation, I kind of am drawn to that. Next from that would be like retail. If a retail store's renovating, I'm attracted to that. And then it kind of goes down from there. So construction's number one. Renovations are second. But in renovations, you can break it up to, you know, okay, a renovation of a, like for example, the strip club. If there's a renovation to the strip club, I'm probably not going to talk about it. Because...
You don't want to go in and do reconnaissance? You don't want to go in and investigate?
ma'am, put on the rubber gloves.
Yeah.
No, I just don't want to promote something that I feel like if I do push it on my page, at some point, am I promoting or am I informing? And so I want to be informative first. Mm-hmm. And if I'm promoting, I want to agree with it and I want to get paid for it now. Because now I have leverage
exactly.
to do that.
Yeah.
And so... like vape shops, I don't really post much about vape shops and I have no, you know, offense to people that vape. I don't do it, mm-hmm. but I don't jive with it. And I don't think people that follow me care enough to see a vape shop, and they come and go so quick that people don't even notice that they come mm-hmm. and go a lot of times, unless you're a vapor.
What about medical marijuana? Would that be something you'd want to post? Like if it's opening, you know?
Yeah. And I did.
I know they're waiting still.
That was it. It's a THC, the Total Health Clinic, I think it's mm-hmm. called. THC, the acronym. It's amazing that they did it that way. But interesting, the THC clinic, or Total Healthcare Clinic, is not the actual distributor of the medical marijuana. But right next door is an apothecary mm-hmm. that is actually the one. It's kind of like the pharmacy for that clinic.
Owned by a pharmacist, yeah.
Yeah. Only the clinics doctor or pharmacist or doctor can prescribe the medical marijuana to you.
Recommend it.
And then you take that recommendation and then bring it to the apothecary, which is literally built right across the parking lot, which is convenient. And then you go get your medical marijuana. And it's not the kind you smoke.
Right.
A lot of people think, oh, yeah, I'm gonna get high. Well, you probably will have a sense of high, but it won't be inhaling it. It won't look as cool as you think it might look.
With more pain relief or something. Yeah,
it's relief. And and it's still marijuana, but you get the effects. But the clinic will tell you, I mean, inhaling anything inflames your lungs. Whether that is cigarette smoke, marijuana smoke, it doesn't matter. The marijuana can be the best marijuana in the world, but it's still going to cause you some pain in your lungs. You might not feel it because you're so high.
This is going off.
Like, hey, look, I love a tangent.
I didn't know you were an expert in that. But
like, I learned a lot by visiting the clinic.
Yeah. Well, I know I was so excited. We had Fred Mills on our show, and we thought everything was going to be opening up by, you know, last November, and we're still waiting. So I guess this happens a lot to you. You'll be posting things, and then I guess things just don't go as the owner's plan, and, you know, things can get off kilter.
Yeah, typically a development or a new business, mainly new construction, and if the renovations are really in-depth renovations, the tentative opening dates are usually 3 to 6 months out, but for renovations. Now, for new construction, you could expect at least, you know, 8 to 9 months or up to a year. Sometimes they take longer. And sometimes those places get built so fast that if you drove in Lafayette 1 week and you come into Lafayette the next week.
New Waffle House. You know,
there's all of a sudden this new business on the corner, and you're like,
I feel
like I've been gone for a year.
I know, but really not. Yeah.
The KFC that just opened up on North University, I watched, like, I didn't watch them, like, I didn't sit there on the corner and watch them build it, but I passed by the location maybe 3 or 4 times in over the course of a month or 2 months, whatever the case may be. And I feel like one day there was like dirt work where they had built the dirt up, and then the next day there was a slab, and then the next day there was a wall going up.
Man.
And then not long after that, the store was open. I'm like, God, wait, the walls were just going up, and I'm in the building where there was nothing, like literally a month ago. And like Costco, that area took close to a year. So it depends on how bad that company wants to start making money. And most restaurants, they want to start making money as quick as possible because there's not much money to be made. Like, your margins are already small enough.
Right, right.
So they get them up quick.
Yeah. You know what I love about you, Ben, is you're so excited about what you do. And it's fun to see the enthusiasm and to see the fruits of your labor. And I've noticed over here, Jason Secor has been smiling with us. And Jason tapes our show on behalf of Raider Solutions. And I see you writing a lot of notes. And y'all are both transplants to Lafayette.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a little bit farther away from Turkey Creek when you moved here.
Yeah, I came from the other side of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple questions. What was your background? Was it graphic design?
My background, graphic design. I mean,
so you kind of made this what you're doing now. You made this job yourself. Like, there's nobody. Like, this isn't a career path for people if they want to do this, right? You kind of invented this.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's something that was not existing in the sense that of the exact like topic, but I essentially created a position for myself that I didn't realize was needed.
That's awesome. So we talked about what other people want to see in town. What do you want to see in town?
What I want to see in town, to be honest, I want something fun to do in town. We have plenty of places to eat. I'm not going to bark at a new place to eat. Like, I welcome the new restaurants because I love to eat. But there's not enough things to do in town that's fun or entertaining that doesn't involve alcohol to be the primary source of that entertainment or that business's revenue. So, like Dave and Buster's, you know, that's a place where I could bring my kid. And yeah, they serve alcohol, they serve food there, but it's bigger than that. And yes, mm-hmm. it's a chain, and it's, you know, some people would say we don't need that, but Lafayette needs more to do.
Family friendly.
And that if the weather's bad, we can still do it. Right now, the only two things that I, or a few things that I can think about is the Cart Ranch, which they're doing a lot to improve their facility. And then we have Sky Zone, a trampoline park. I think Broussard has a trampoline park. Mm-hmm. And then there's another go-kart place in Henderson. We have two go-kart places and we have two trampoline parks. But like we just need more adult and child like combination things to do. Like Legends is fun, but you drink there and that's it. You know, there just needs to be some more family fun things to do. That's, and like, for example, a water park. A water park would be great. I don't know if Lafayette can support it.
It'd be tough, but this climate certainly could support it.
Oh, the climate can support it big time. I think if it was a small scale water park that had, I don't know if you've ever been to Sulphur or Lake Charles area. They have a small, like, recreational water park
there. I've seen
it. It's called SPAR, Sulphur something and Recreation. Okay. And so that would be an interesting thing. And I know Red's Gym has a little water park built inside, but you have to have a Red's membership. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to have just a weekend, like, oh, let's go to the Lafayette, you know, water park. And it could be like all of two or three slides and a freaking whirlpool, and Lafayette would be ecstatic about it. Mm-hmm. But no, we have to go to
Blue Bayou,
or if you want a whirlpool and you want to have that feeling of kind of a water park, you got to go to the one of the campgrounds, like the RV parks, like in Henderson. There's
Pretty cool. The one Lake Venable has,
So there's, I forget the name, but Isle of Iberia also. Mm-hmm. They have a lazy river, but you also have to know someone who's camping there.
To get in.
Yeah, so we need just a dedicated, fun little water park or something like a Dave & Buster's to do.
That makes sense. Are there certain areas in town right now that you see are more like hot spots for building than other ones, or is it really just kind of scattered everywhere?
Kind of both, man. It's scattered and there's hot spots in those scatters. So Cairn Crow is a big hot spot. Mm-hmm. Scott is warming up. There's some things that are about to happen in Scott. They're preparing this big development right by Super One. They have a bunch of spaces there. There's a new residential space that's going on Apollo Road that's going to really spark some development. Broussard, Youngsville, that's kind of been hot for a while. Lafayette, in and of itself, the city has been a little colder the past few months. But I think where the interstate is, for sure, is the hot spot that I'm watching. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and as far as like Lafayette goes, I guess the south side, that's always been kind of a hot spot, especially near Costco. That spot right there is going to be a spot to watch for the next few years too.
And they still have land there.
Still plenty of land, and
And all along Ambassador, I think.
Yep.
From Poly Saloon all the way to Evangeline. Yep. In terms of social media and the internet, what do you find gets better traction? Is it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the website? Is there one that you definitely see as being, if I'm going to do something, just one of these, it needs to be this? Or do you really need to hit all of them?
You don't need to hit all of them, but you need to hit like Facebook. First, Facebook is the behemoth, even though it's one of those things where it's over 10 years old and it's kind of the mom and pop social network. You still need to be on it. Instagram is the kind of the shining star at the moment, but it's different. You have to know how to use Instagram, and if you're using it for business, you have to know what type of pictures to post. But Facebook and Instagram, a must. And they're both owned by Facebook, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Twitter, if you are a writer, like a journalistic type of writer, like a sports writer or someone who's in politics, Twitter is where you want to be. Because if you want to talk politics, everybody on Twitter wants to talk politics. Facebook, people are rejecting politics on Facebook.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
Instagram, there's no room for politics on Instagram. Everybody wants to see food, they want to see flowers, and they want to see girls. That's what Instagram pretty much is.
Boy, that's right.
And makeup. There's makeup.
Yeah.
It does seem like that's more of the younger crowd.
It's definitely the younger crowd. Younger, like, this was just a couple of years ago, hearing about what the younger people are using, they would refer to Facebook as, oh, that's what my mom uses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as soon as you hear that, it's dying. Like, okay, well, once the mom and pops get too old, then they're not going to want to use social media anyway. And then Instagram will come to a point where I'm pretty sure those younger people that are on it will still be on it. And then it'll be a mom and pop thing. And then who knows what the next one will be. Yeah. There's always going to be something new. Snapchat had a strong thing
for a while,
but I think they're phasing out. You can only use the facial recognition filters for so long before you're like, okay, mm-hmm. I've done it, and Facebook has totally took that same concept and they do it on every one of their platforms. But to go back, Facebook, Instagram would be the two top ones to use, even though they're starting from the ground up is hard.
Yeah.
That's where the bulk of the people, and my website is driven by both of those.
I was going to say, you kind of have to have the website as well.
Yeah. The website, for general businesses, websites really don't do that much. Like if you own a tax service, or if you own a car dealership, well, car dealerships is an exception. You can use car dealerships. A car insurance, or if you're a local business, Your website's just a business card that's online.
Yeah.
But if you write, or if you post to, if you make blogs, you need the website to store all that information, but you just link people from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want to use, back to your website. And that's kind of what drives my traffic, is Facebook and Instagram.
Gotcha. One last question. I know we're running long on time here, but this is more of a personal thing. Did you see Bird and Lime pop up like as abruptly as everybody else, or did you see that coming ahead of time?
I don't think anybody saw that coming. I'm usually like clued into what's about to happen, and Bird popped up literally like,
it was like a Monday morning. All of a sudden, there's scooters all over town.
They dropped them off. Kay Durio with Create, you know, with the city government. She said that no one was given any warning. They just showed up, and then Lime right after. The Bird was first, and it's interesting to see the reaction.
I watched an interview with the CEO of Bird, and the interviewer was like, so you kind of have this reputation of being a just come in under the radar type business, where one day there's no Bird scooters and the next day there's a crap ton of Bird scooters. And you know, like, what is the method behind that? And I don't know if he directly said this, but essentially the going word is on the street, Bird's the word, but is the way to establish their footing in a community is not to ask permission, because then they're faced with all these mm-hmm. regulations and like what ifs and how are you going to do this. Instead, they just come in unannounced, uninvited, and they allow the population to say, hey, this is cool. I don't know how these came here. I don't know who brought them. I don't know how to use them yet, but I want to use them.
We're going to figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out. And like, there's a little tag on it whenever they first came, like, oh, download the app. You know, scan the barcode. Get a free ride. Like, you get 30 minutes for free whenever they first came down. So I was like, and somebody messaged me, and I'm like, oh my God, Bird scooters. I knew about this from a YouTuber that I saw, and he said how interesting they were. So I immediately just dropped everything. I was eating lunch. I dropped everything and went straight into downtown Lafayette.
Back at Olive Garden.
I was not at Olive Garden at the time. But I went to downtown, and I saw one right in front of Keller's Bakery. And it was like a dead relative popped up, and you're like, what do I do with it? Like, it was like a ghost sitting in the parking lot, and you're like, do I go up to it? Do I interact with it? Like, I don't know how to approach this. And so I went inside Keller's Bakery, and I was like, do you guys know anything about this scooter? And they're like, they kind of shrugged their shoulders and like, no, we thought maybe you knew because, you know.
You're supposed to be the guy that knows. Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I know that you businesses or people can be chargers. And I thought maybe they were a charging station and they had one that they just charged. And so nobody knew. So I broke out my phone and kind of set up an account. Walked up to the scooter and literally it was like I'm about to pet a wild animal. I took out my phone, I scanned the QR code, and it beeps, and I'm like, oh my God, it's beeping. What do I do? And then the headlight came on, and the girl and Keller's was like, well, you did something. The headlight's on. I'm like, okay, I think I can do something. So in the app, they kind of give you instructions. So it said like to kick off 3 times and hit the gas. And so I did. And of course, like every first time bird scooter rider, I was literally about to hit a couple of cars.
Oh, because I didn't tell you how to brake.
Well, there's a brake there, but like you don't know the speed. You don't know like the agility of it. And so it was kind of like walking for the first time. I didn't know which way to go. I started like, so Keller's Bakery is right there on Jefferson, right next to Johnston. At first I started getting into the turning lane to go on Johnston. I'm like, I need to go the other way. So I awkwardly turned the scooter around and got on the sidewalk. And I said, okay, I need to go the other way on Jefferson and go into downtown further. And I just kind of haphazardly managed to get on it. And I don't know. It
was, you survived.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
And now Lime's in town, and Lime kind of came after Bird because I guess Lime was like, well, Bird's in there. We need to go add some color to the place. So they dropped some of the green in. And now Bird has upgraded their scooters to have the same technology as Lime because you see this little pouch-looking thing in the front. And now you can see your speedometer. You can actually see how fast you're going. Like, I think to go up to about 18 miles an hour, which you're supposed to wear a helmet, but nobody's been wearing a helmet.
You're supposed to wear a helmet, and you're supposed to also only drive them in bike lanes, not on sidewalks and not in the street.
Well, there's no bike lanes.
Exactly.
Well, bike lane.
Very few.
Drive it in the bike lane if there is a bike lane. If there's no bike lane, they say drive as close to the curb as you can. Well, in downtown, it's parallel parking. So the curb is literally people's mirrors.
Yeah.
So let's hope if you're going 18 miles an hour, like my fear is somebody's going to be like, oh, I got to get out of my car. Open the door. You just plow right into the door.
You know, I was worried about accidents, but I haven't heard of anybody being clipped. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody being hurt by this yet.
So I think
it is unsafe, though, the way people drive here.
It does seem like it, yeah.
You know.
I've seen them on Ambassador.
I shouldn't say the way people drive, but I mean, we're not used to having
scooters. No. I'm going to go ahead and say it. People drive crazy here. Well, like they do.
Even though it's a great place.
It's a super great place. And you know what? The crazy drivers do get courteous and let people in when they're acting less crazy. But and I drive crazy sometimes too. Living here after a few years, you kind of learn to like, you can't beat it. You might as well join them. One thing I don't do though, and this is off topic, is I don't use the center turning lane airport lane, like a runway. I do use it to get in there and like stop and wait for my gap to get in because you have to at least avoid some part of the lanes. But as far as to get in there and start going and then merge, I don't use that as a merge lane. I stop and wait, but.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for being here.
And, this
and
is fun.
Yeah, thanks for letting me ask some questions.
This is a lot of fun. Ben, I love being with you. I enjoy our partnership when we're on TV together.
Yep.
And one thing I want to get in a plug before we close out, I noticed on your site and Facebook and all that when events, when there are developments or new construction in what I call Upper Lafayette, Karen Crow, Scott, people go ballistic. I mean, you really get a lot of likes. I think people are just still so excited that there's a big focus on the development that's happening north of I-10 in particular.
Yeah, and, so the north side of town or Upper Lafayette
Parish,
was relatively, I don't want to say neglected, but not as attractive as the south side of town for a while. And I'm not exactly sure what happened. I would have to talk to the city manager and Karen Crow, and he would probably be able to elaborate. But there was tons of land, and I think the owners of the land were finally ready to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, naturally what started happening is, well, there's a need for a grocery store. So Super One popped in there, and after that, you had another little shopping strip, and then you got Rotolo's, a pizza place, and
new subdivisions.
You
know,
a new subdivision. Yeah. You got a Popeyes, and now there's three or four other shopping centers that's about to pop up.
Which really exciting. Great American Cookie Company things that people used to have. That used to be there in Northgate Mall before the mall declined some about 15 years ago. But I always smile when I see that because people are so excited about having the amenities.
Yeah, because they don't have to drive into Lafayette where the crazy drivers are.
Yes, I've just got to get in my plug. But I do notice when you post things that relate to Upper Lafayette Parish, people jump all over it. Mm-hmm. So it's good to see. And you really provide a wonderful community service by the work you do. So I'm glad it's going well.
I hope it continues.
Yeah. Me too, yeah. So I want to thank you, Ben Powers, with Developing Lafayette. Again, people can go to your website, developinglafayette.com, or just look up Developing Lafayette on Facebook and find you from there. And Jason Sikora, thank you so much, and Raiders Solutions for taping this episode of Discover Lafayette. Our site is discoverlafayette.net, and this is distributed through iTunes or anywhere you get your podcast. And I hope you'll check us out and tell your friends about it. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.